Samantha, it's Fifi Fevan-Byron here. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, hello.
So many questions to ask you because, like many people, we've watched this all unfold. It's a global news story. And I wanted to get your opinion, Samantha, on the most recent event, and that was Harry and Meghan attending the big billionaire JP Morgan event in Florida, clearly a paid event that they did sort of under the radar. How do you feel about that being one of the first things they do now that they're private citizens?
Well, you know, honestly, it seemed somewhat inappropriate on the grounds that they're not really financial moguls. And, you know, I understand they have corporate goals and, you know, they want to do a so-called global empire. But, you know, the JP Morgan huge money plan speech seemed inappropriate placed so closely with the damage that's been done in Great Britain. And if they want to go around and make money, that's fine. Everyone has a right to do that. But it's sort of like you don't leave bodies in your wake as a boat is sinking and, you know, just trickle over into the sunset and say, oh, well, that was fun, but we're going to go, you know, be corporate moguls and ignore all of the damage. It was just kind of weird for me, my opinion.
I agree. Well, it's interesting, Samantha, because Wills and Kate have announced over the last few days that they're coming to Australia, and we've got obviously a terrible, tragic circumstances over summer where a lot of people were affected by bushfires here, and they're going to come and visit the communities. And it does seem like a distinct contrast, doesn't it? So Wills and Kate are coming to visit bushfire-affected families, and yet Meghan and Harry have gone to make money at a big financial institution.
Well, exactly. It felt somewhat like the documentary on Africa felt to me, to, you know, juxtapose extreme suffering and then take an opportunity to spotlight one's own comforts or alleged lack thereof, and to, you know, be, you know, global dynamos rather than posit themselves on charity, which was, you know, the forerunner of all of this. And I think certainly Great Britain hoped that they would do that. But now amidst the fires in Australia, I mean, to ignore that and to go be self-serving seems incredibly inhumane. And that's, you know, that's my opinion. There's so much going on in the world in terms of suffering everywhere. To glorify themselves so much is really, I think, shocking.
Now, Samantha, we'll throw it back to your world. When was the last time you spoke to Meghan? And is she in any contact with anyone in her family?
No, and it's not just the Markle family. It's the Raglans also. It's the uncle who helped her with the internship in Buenos Aires. It's my dad who has given her everything almost as a sole parent. It's me. She's got a sister in a wheelchair, and that's not so much the big deal. But when you have a family and all of the, you know, public controversy as to what's been going on and the treatment of the royals, it just seems like, you know, phone calls that could have been made that could have nipped this in the bud or been, you know, an effort towards peaceful resolution have not been made. They've been blatantly ignored. And, you know, I don't care how busy someone is, it takes 2 seconds to make a phone call. To answer your question, no, I haven't been estranged for so many years, as the public said. The last time I spoke with her was 2016, going on around the holidays. We had a conversation about my dad. So, you know, tabloid said, oh, she hasn't spoken with her sister in 10 years. Well, that's not, you know, not true. And she hasn't seen her sister since she was small. Also not true. You know, the public really doesn't know. And I think clearly the burden is on her as the better person or the quote humanitarian to demonstrate, you know, walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Now,
and with my dad having 2 heart attacks, it's incredibly cruel, and there's no other way to slice this apple. It's just ridiculous.
Now, Samantha, you mentioned, we know that she's obviously estranged from a lot of the Markle family, but she is estranged, as you said, to members of her mother's side of the family. And that's what I wanted to just ask you. There have been recent stories inferring from insiders, but nobody's actually said anything, that she may not be as close to her mum, Doria, as we all see that. We saw that she was the only family member at the wedding. But what's your insight into her relationship? Is she close to her mum? And what was it like even while she was growing up? Because is it right that she lived with her dad for a period and not with her mum?
Yeah, our dad pretty much raised her as a single parent. And, you know, when she was born, brought home from the hospital to our house, her mom moved in with us when I was 14. But Gloria was not around very much. So all of this public, you know, spotlighting of, oh, the matriarchy thing, I felt like that was a strategic way of either impressing Her Royal Majesty and doing the women's empowerment thing, which seems somewhat false because, you know, if you want women to have a voice and you think the voices should be heard, hey, well, yeah, you've got your mom, but you've got your sister in a wheelchair, and you've got so many people who have female voices that are being suppressed unless they absolutely enable, you know, whatever she was doing. It's like it all seemed very fake. And then I think I was most shocked. You know, I could excuse it about our family and be sort of tough about it. But when I saw her doing the same thing and being, you know, what I consider disrespectful to the royal, to Royal Majesty, I thought, oh, God, where does it stop?
So do you believe Doria is spending time with them in Canada with her grandson? Because it seems like she's in California and not really with the family anyway.
Well, perhaps. I think everything is speculative. As we all know, it's hard to decipher from propaganda. Mm. But clearly, had they been spending time together, I'm assuming, you know, how paparazzi are. There would be photos of them everywhere. And so that being said, I do get a sense that, no, she's not there. And, you know, the I think discontentment with their behavior might have extended itself to Doria, and that I'm not even sure that Doria would approve of what has gone on. And there have likely been disagreements. So this is, you know, this is behavior and these are choices that they seem to carry with them. And I would hope at one point they would say, hey, what we've been doing is not cool. It's not right. And let's do the right thing. Let's change. My God, like how much damage can you do before it's obvious?
Now, Meg's obviously got her dream. She married a prince. She became a princess. Didn't like that side of life, living as a princess. And now they've gone back to Canada. Do you think they will last? Do you think now living as civilians, Meghan and Harry will stay together as a sister's point of view?
I'm not sure. It's not for me to say, but I think the bigger picture is that they liked the royal life until the public started scrutinizing them for behavioral choices that they had made that caused some public dissent. And only at that point was it suddenly, oh, we're not really happy, we're not comfortable. Of course, when you're a child being put in the corner and you're being punished for what you've done wrong, you're not very happy. It's sort of like, no, you know, that. And then it became a blame game and, you know, there was this public perception that they were somehow victims. No, they made choices that had consequences and most likely they're not 12 years old. You know, she's almost 40 and he's not a child either. If they treat people like this there now, including our family, the Raglans, a whole cascade of other people, and now the British royal family. Nobody in Hollywood is immune from that. It's like even Hollywood royalty. It's like the pattern is there. They did it to everyone else. People in Hollywood are not that special, that it's not going to be a consistent pattern.
Speaking of the pattern, which it does, we all see, even the wedding, there were all these apparent friends, George Clooney, Oprah Winfrey, Serena Williams. And you've known Meghan her whole life. Does she have close friends from school? Was this a pattern at school? Did she have close friends or is she someone that doesn't really have close friends or just she has friends for the time being?
Well, she had a very good best friend of 30 years who she has also, quote, ghosted. And the high school she went to now is feeling some strain on the grounds that there were sources say articles that said that the school was racist when, you know, on the contrary, Immaculate Heart High School was very eclectic and multiculturally diverse, beautiful. In fact, in all of the photographs of all the girls together at the school, there was often only one Caucasian girl. And so it was very well blended. Any suggestion of racism was ludicrous. And I think now, again, it goes back to the blame game. It's like, we're not happy with what's going on. So everybody's bad. Everybody's toxic. You know, it's just, it's so stereotypically a form of denial and lack of accountability. It's an attribution error that is, I think, inappropriate at their age, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, now, Sam, you go.
You know, I think the world has seen that, and, you know, we can only hope that with Archie in the mix that they would role model values that are, you know, that promote social cohesion and harmony and conflict resolution rather than isolating everybody and playing a blame game as it has seemingly been.
Now, Sam, having not spoken to your sister since 2016, she's become a royal, and now you speak on your point of view about her and for her, I suppose, and telling the world, but you're cashing in as well. How do you feel about taking cash speaking about your sister when you haven't spoke to her?
It's not really about that. And, you know, my father worked in television for 40 years. I had a career long before my sister even went to college. I worked in broadcasting. I did my own thing. So I've never felt a problem with accepting money for being publicly outspoken. It's what I've done. And certainly in a wheelchair, I have a right to do that. But the bottom line is, this isn't just about Megan. We are individuals in this family. I have a right to speak about my life. My father has a right to speak about his. And for anyone to suddenly make it, oh, it's Megan has a copyright on all things Markle family. No, I was the firstborn Markle under my dad. My father was the first before us. And guess what? If anyone has a right to speak about what's going on, we certainly do. And if we get paid, it's sort of like, you know, I said to someone on Entertainment Tonight, you think it's, quote, cashing in? Well, then go tell your boss that you're not accepting a paycheck for this time, because that's cashing in. All of media is about money. So are the Markles the only ones that are not allowed to get paid anything while the world is abuzz about this? That would seem somewhat cruel and not very logical. Media is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Hey, Sam, just one more quick one. Have you ever been told by any royals to keep quiet about the princess and prince?
No, actually, at the beginning of all this, there was this sort of like, you know, Harry had made a comment to my dad, don't speak because they'll tear you apart. But I don't see that Meghan and Harry have been too worried about that. They've been, you know, doing the red carpet thing and being very outspoken. So apparently they're not that worried about the media tearing them apart. And we were told that someone would come and sort of brief us on handling the media. Nobody ever came. And at that point, we were defending ourselves against misperceptions. And it wasn't really about cashing in. It was like, hey, those tabloids and this media is saying this, we're going to set the record straight. And then it became, you know, really defending family integrity of the sources say stuff. Well, when sources say, it means there is no source. So, you know, it was really setting records straight. And I'm not one to lay down in front of train tracks and take being run over, and I don't think my father is either.
I sort of get that. I think that's true. I think you've been thrust into the spotlight, and you certainly haven't taken it lying down, Samantha. So thank you so much for your time, and we wish you well, and hopefully we get to speak to you at some stage in the future again.
Thank you so much. Cheers.